who were resisting their forced displacement so settlers can take their place, adding that this is part of Israel's ongoing attempts to erase the Palestinian presence from the city. But what he said further shows how the EU is actually funding the Israeli violations against Palestinians. He said the EU cannot continue to have an association agreement with Israel and called on the bloc to move to terminate it. This showed that the EU money was being used to fund entities and illegal settlements and to subsidize Israel's arms industry. Yet, in action, none of those promises were kept. Palestinians have been, in essence, ripped off of their rights and been subject to ethnic cleansing, occupation, and oppression for over 7 decades now. And the double standard and hypocrisy shown by the West, especially the EU, only demonstrates that fighting military aggression as well as fighting for rights and how it's approached towards or labeled is solely dependent on the identity of the aggressor with no regard to the tragic consequences. So in short, the EU may condemn Israeli acts of violation, but it truly supports Israel. Gaza is under a blockade by Israel, which claims it is the only way to confront the Palestinian resistance who hold power in the area. EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell explained that there is no solution to the West Asia conflict without a very strong commitment on part of the US. Many attempts were made in the past, but at the moment there appears to be no path forward. Such reactions, however, aren't new to Palestinians, as they have on multiple occasions seen the EU and even the UN condemning Israeli actions, including warnings over the mass displacement of Palestinians, but no actions to prevent it. The EU says it supports Palestinians, but continues to further strengthen its ties both politically and economically with Israel. And this only proves that it is not an honest or effective stakeholder in the struggle for Palestinian sovereignty and independence. Its actions have so far only allowed Israel to continue its acts of aggression with complete impunity.
Start. Movement. Speak. Live in hope. Toward the peak. On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome to Youth Station. This is Zainab and I have with me my co-host
Asma.
Asma, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Fine.
Now since you're with me, you're doing well.
Of course, yes. Now that I'm meeting you, I am exhilarating.
Same here. Thank you so much for being with me. Well, Asma, I always like to please you.
Thank you.
I want to make a place in everybody's heart.
You so have made good? Already so much of places in everyone's heart.
Alhamdulillah. But Asma, let's discuss the same thing. Is it always good to have this mentality that I want to penetrate into other people's hearts? I want to be dominant. I want to...
I get what you want to say. Let's have it from the very beginning that there are two groups of people who do this. Some people do it consciously and some people happen to have it unconsciously.
Okay.
The second group are my favorite one because they do not aim for that. They do not try for that. Mostly they have a gift from God that has given them that whatever they say or whatever they do, they have been loved by other people.
Yeah.
And I will give you examples for that. And let me just talk about the first group.
Yeah, sure.
There are some other groups that I don't know if you had such classmates or not, but through the time that I studied, whether it be university or before that at a school or high school or whatever, there are some people who would love to be the dominating figure everywhere.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They do all in their power to get other people under their domination.
I understand.
This domination is awful.
Okay.
I hate it because it is it's fake and it's not in a good manner.
Yeah.
Mostly when people do something for a personal reason, it does not turn out to be a good thing.
Yeah.
But that's why I mentioned consciously and unconsciously. And okay. There are some other people without doing anything. They are just loved by other people. And whatever they say, that will get into the core of your heart.
Yes.
So I guess this is a gift and a blessing that God gives you. And the other people who try to get into that through spending money, through buying people, through, I don't know, using unkind methods, those are fake and they're not going to dominate people. After all, their true face is going to be revealed.
Yeah. So you categorized them and then you told us the difference between the two groups. Well, let's discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
There's this heat for this discussion. We'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Youth Station. I'm Zainab and I have Asma with me and we're talking
about... Yes, welcome back.
We're talking about...
We're talking about ruling the heart.
Yes. Have you ever tried to please someone?
Please someone, based on my characteristics, I would say that I'm a person who many times would like to please people. I know this is not a good thing.
Okay.
But I do it out of kindness. I do not...
That's a good thing.
Which is, I guess, a good thing. I do it usually out of sympathy, out of kindness, out of, let's put it mere sympathy.
I don't think there's anyone on this earth who would not like to please others.
Yeah,
would not want others to be like, I don't have seen people who want others to be unhappy with them.
No, you know what you mean? What you exactly, see, pleasing people is not a good thing. But when you are loved by others, this is a totally different thing, which is a good thing that everyone loves to have, you know?
Okay.
When I enter the house, I would love everyone to love me.
Okay.
When I go to school, I would love everyone to love me. This is a good thing. When you come to your work, you would love, everyone would be interested. I love the audience to love me. So
okay.
This is a thing that would happen to everyone.
It does happen, but I want to say, because as for many, many psychologists, you can't please everyone.
Yes, of course.
Because you'll end up in a disastrous state, a disastrous mental state, because it's really impossible to please everyone around. As per Imam Ali alayhi salam, there will be a day in your favor and there will be a day against you.
Yeah.
Are you prepared for the day that's against you? I mean, I have not, all the hurts I have had in my life, all the heartbreaks I have had in my life were because of my expectations, were because I didn't live this hadith before. I was not prepared for the day that was against me.
Yeah.
I have always been prepared for the day that was in my favor.
Yeah, I guess, see, Zainab, what we are talking about right now is mostly circling around the very fact that we do not have any disagreement in here that we all love to be loved by others.
We all love to be loved by others.
Yes.
We all want to rule hearts.
Yes, we want to rule hearts.
So is it a good thing or a bad thing? We discussed that.
Yeah.
In what context it's a good thing and in what context it's going to end to disastrous for you.
Yeah.
We talked about that. We said, like, you have to be ready for a day that's against you.
What happens that some people get to a point, reach a point, that they are loved by everyone, though we know that it is not very easy to be loved by everyone because, after all, you're a human being and chances that you might say something that is not pleasing to some people. That is going to hurt some people. So how is it that some people that we have seen it in history and we have seen it in our narrations, that there are some creatures that they are loved by other people and they sort of rule the hearts of other people. Like Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, totally, yeah. As you consider them, they have been ruling the heart.
Yes.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the symbol of justice. So he might have said something that is not pleasing for too many people.
Yeah.
Still, deep down, even those people felt that he is ruling their heart as well.
Yeah, in the contemporary world, mm-hmm. you take me back to Martyr Qasim Soleimani.
Yeah, that is very
true. Who rules
yeah.
the hearts even today, who was loved mm-hmm. when he was martyred. Many, many more people who didn't even know him. I mean, I wrote my first poem for him.
Yeah.
And I got to know him more after he was martyred, actually. So yes, people can rule hearts even when they're martyred or even when they don't exist.
So how they get it to that point?
It's because of sincerity. Uh-huh. It's because of the submission to Allah. Mm-hmm. You know, when you submit yourself to human beings,
yeah.
they'll push you back so hard. They will punch on your face yes. so hard.
Yes.
And not physically.
I know what you mean. A mental breakdown.
You will get so broken down because you're submitting
fall.
To people. You're submitting to yeah. people. And people are meant to forget things. Mm-hmm. When did you do things for me? Why? I didn't tell you to be kind
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, I didn't ask you to.
I didn't ask you to be. You'll actually get these answers from people. But what I'm trying to say over here is that
when you do something
to
for Allah,
Allah,
yeah.
Even you remind me of one of the hadiths, Hadith Qudsi. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me the way of life. Give me some steps of the way mm-hmm. of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says him some steps, go this. I'll just shorten it up. He says one of the points you'll reach, you'll find a jewelry box. Mm-hmm. Go and just dig it up once, and then it's not none of your concern what happens with that box, and just move on your way. He goes and finds a jewelry box. He finds it that's very, very precious, and then he digs it up. Then he moves from that place, and he hears a sound, and then when he looks back, he sees that he dug that thing, but it came out again. Then when he goes back to Allah and asks the meaning, what was the meaning of this thing? What yeah. was the reason behind? He says that all those jewels were your good deeds, was your kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to dig it up. Don't show off.
Uh-huh. Don't look back.
I'm the one who's going to take
yeah,
it back again.
Yeah, that's very nice.
So because Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach me the way of life.
Yeah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while teaching him the way of life, tells him, be kind, but don't express, I'm kind.
Don't have expectations. Do not look back every now and then to
not,
see that what
like
that
a,
person is going to do
do
for
not
you in return.
Expect for a return
yeah.
of price. Just dig it up.
Yeah, just
you
dig
did
it
kindness
up.
And just forget it.
That was very beautiful, Zina.
I'm the one who's going to take that out.
Yeah.
And that was a jewel box. I was Allah subhanahu. You see, Mate Qasim Soleimani never came to people and told them, see, I'm providing you the security. I'm
yeah.
the one who's providing you security on Arbaeen, or like, I'm the one who's this, who's that. Now, after he's martyred, you get to know how kind he had been.
How many things he have done.
I was just translating one of his very small, I must say, a very small note. It was one of the soldiers from the same forces. He said that it was a rule in Syria, like whenever we would get these takfiri forces would evacuate a house, mm-hmm. these will become the residential places for the resistance forces. In those houses, there were all facilities. The house is left vacant by the takfiri
yeah,
forces.
Yeah.
And then I was going after Haji, and I was saying, where is Haji? And then I saw Mata Kazimi there, Hadi Kazimi, and I told him, is Haji inside? He said that he is inside the house. He says, I went here and there. I looked everywhere. I found him nowhere. Then I came back and I told him, are you kidding me? He's not there. I didn't find him anywhere. So he tells him, do you see the tent in the yard? tent erected in the yard, he's staying inside. And then he says, I was amazed. He could have used the house with all facilities, but then he was staying in a tent in the yard. Mm-hmm. And that was his command place. I mean, he was the head of the forces over there.
Yeah.
Not just it. So he says he was so much concerned about the Sharia laws. He was so much...
Not to break any little rule that has been done by Allah.
Otherwise it said everything is fair in love and war. Have you heard that?
Yeah, it's so common. Which is very beautiful.
But no, we see Martin Suleimani is respecting all Sharia laws, all very, very minute, small, big things, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually. So that's how you will rule hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
yes,
you can...
You mean that technically obedience of Allah, being a true obedient of Allah, is going
submitting to
help
him.
You into that road where you reach the point that people...
He says, forget it.
Yeah.
Do it with sincerity. Yeah. Do it for him, basically.
In Persian language, we say that, do it and throw it in the river.
And we
and
say...
And Allah would give you the return.
We say, neki kar darya mein dal, which means do good and throw it in the river.
So the same as us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Right. Okay, so that's it, yeah. And it's very... truthfully put, that when you wish to get into the heart of people, you have to be truly the truthful obedient of Allah. And there is no other way for it. We see that there are many people who want to dominate other people, but they are doing that for personal reasons.
Yes.
These people are not going to find peace themselves, and they're not going to create any peace for other people. But those who have it unconsciously.
Yes.
But those who try for it, who have been truthful throughout
and
their
doing
lifetime.
It for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, actually expect reward from Allah. Don't expect reward from people. The more you expect reward from people, you'll get hurt so bad, bad, that you can't even imagine to come out of that mental and emotional state. Since I've experienced all these things, I'm not saying these things today because I have been like this all the time. No, I have been trying to please people throughout my life, and I got so hurt. I got so much struck mentally. And then I came to know my husband talked to me seriously, and they told me, like, you know, even Allah says to his prophet in Quran, don't be so kind with them people. You did your job, that's okay. Then leave upon me. Don't be so kind.
Yeah, the rest
kind.
Is
so,
my know, duty.
Sometimes, is yeah, you have to submit
so
for Allah.
So lower down, what Zainab is trying to say is actually lower down your expectations, be truthful to Allah, do all the things you have to do as a real human, Muslim human being, and then Allah would reward you.
Exactly.
And the reward is going to be a domination of the heart. You are going to rule the heart of other creatures.
Yes, and with that, we're running out of time. Thank you so much,
like
Asma,
always,
for...
when we're together, we run out of time.
Thank you so much, Asma, for providing
thank
the summary.
You,
thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
Until another session, wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. In some samples, large chunks of the monkeypox virus is mutating. Virus's genome has disappeared, but understanding whether the mutations affect its behavior will be very difficult. In this regard, we have provided an exclusive article published in Nature. Stay tuned for more. As researchers at the Minnesota Department of Health in St. Paul were sequencing samples of the monkeypox virus a few months ago, they made a surprising discovery. In one sample collected from an infected person, a large chunk of the virus's genome was missing, and another chunk had moved to an entirely different spot in the sequence. Crystal Gigant, a microbiologist at the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia, was called in to help examine the mutations. She and her colleagues found similar deletions and rearrangements in a handful of other monkeypox genomes collected in the United States, according to a report that they posted on September 17th on the preprint server BioRevix that has not undergone peer review. Although scientists aren't alarmed, they are monitoring the situation carefully to understand why the alterations have appeared and what they might mean for the global monkeypox outbreak. These mutations are a stark reminder that even pox viruses, which are DNA viruses that tend to evolve more slowly than RNA viruses such as the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus, will change over time, says Eliot Lefkowitz, a computational virologist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And the more the monkeypox virus is transmitted between humans, the scientist adds, the more opportunities it will have to evolve. The mutations assessed by Gigante warrant the single-letter alterations that scientists are used to seeing in the SARS-CoV-2 genome. In some cases, entire genes had vanished. A stretch of about 7% of the genome was missing in a sample from an infected person in Florida. But it's too early to tell whether the mutations are beneficial, neural, or harmful to the virus, Lefkowitz says. If health officials detect an uptick in the number of virus samples carrying these mutations, that could be a possible signal that they are helping the virus to spread. The large deletions and rearrangements that were first reported in Minnesota did not surprise Andia Hatcher, an evolutionary virologist at the National Center for Biotechnology Information in Bethesda, Maryland. In 2015, she co-authored a study with Lefkowitz showing that such mutations are common in most pox viruses and that the majority of genes that they disrupt are located towards the end or terminal regions of the virus genome. It was really nice to see some of the mutational strategies replicated that we have seen in the past, Hatcher says. Orthopox viruses, a genus of pox viruses that includes the monkeypox virus and the variola virus, which causes a smallpox, share a core set of about 174 genes at the center of their genomes. But their terminal regions are more variable and contain fewer essential genes. Some of the genes in these regions are thought to encode proteins that help to disarm genes in these regions throughout the responses. This underlies one hypothesis for why variola become adept in infecting humans. ¶¶ Some scientists worry that a similar situation could arise with monkeypox, which is currently more of a generalist. It can infect many mammals, including several rodent species and humans. But predicting how the monkeypox virus's behavior will change as it mutates is difficult because researchers have not yet characterized the function of many genes in its large genome. For example, although researchers first discovered that two strains of the monkeypox virus were spreading in Africa more than 17 years ago, they are still struggling to determine precisely which genes are responsible for the difference in death rate between the two, Lefkowitz says. The mortality rade for one of them, clade 1, which is predominant in Central Africa, is about 10%. Clade 2, which circulates in West Africa, has a death rate of about 1 to 3%. By analyzing monkeypox sequences, researchers are also learning more about how the virus might have sparked the global outbreak. Scientists have noticed a pattern of single-letter mutations separate from the changes first spotted in Minnesota. That seems to be a genetic imprint of the ongoing battle between the human immune system and the virus. By using data collected so far to roughly calculate the number of these mutations expected each year, they have estimated that the strain responsible for the global outbreak jumped from animals into humans in early 2016. That's more than a year and a half before the strain was detected in humans for the first time by Nigerian health officials, who declared an outbreak in their country that has never completely ended. The good news is that although the monkeypox virus continues to evolve, no mutations have affected the part of its genome that encodes a protein targeted by tecovirimat, an antiviral drug being tested for use against monkeypox in humans.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the right of advice. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program, and in today's lesson, we are talking about the right of advice. It is the right of your friend over you to give him advices and to provide him with your experience in any particular thing in life. You two are friends. You two need to help each other. You two need to advise each other. They need to advise you, and you need to advise them, which in this case will help them and it will help you also. So whenever you advise them, you give them an advice, definitely it's going to help them improve something in their life. They didn't know about it, but because you gave them an advice, it's as if you shared your thought with them. They had a thought and they thought it was nice, and you gave them another thought. And in order for them to, whenever they combine the two thoughts between your thoughts and his thoughts, it's going to bring up something good from the action that they will do. So no doubt, whenever you leave your friend without advising him and he doesn't advise you to, surely you have deceived him and he also has deceived you. You, both of you two, will be deceived, because a friend is sincere and faithful to his friend. And one of the ways to show your faithfulness to your friend is by giving them an advice and receiving an advice from them too. An advice rescues a man from deviation and perdition and from any type of disloyal in life. Because as others contribute in his success in his academic, political, family, economic, and social life, This will help them become a better person in these particular fields. Advice is a very important thing.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano, and we're talking about the right of advice from two friends. Two friends need to advise each other. They need to accept advices from each other because it makes them better. It makes them make better decisions in life. So because of the importance of advice, giving advice is sometimes incumbent upon us. And no doubt Allah will punish us if we neglect to advise our fellow brothers. It is reported in a prophetic hadith that it is incumbent on a believer to advise his fellow believer on what is apparent and hidden. Whenever you're advising your friend on something, you are definitely sharing your thoughts with them. You are sharing the thoughts of two people upon one action. Definitely, it will make that action more complete and more accurate by just you two sharing an advice with each other. Let's say he wants an advice about a certain study. He wants to take a certain lesson in a university or something, and he seeks an advice from you. Whenever you're advising them, from the advices, you'll definitely reach into a good conclusion, and he's going to make a good choice whenever he reaches the university than when he will have made a choice whenever he was alone, because it was just one person thinking. But whenever you're two people sharing thoughts, it's the thoughts of two people, and definitely it brings about good actions whenever you're sharing advices with each other. Sharing advice is something good. Sharing advice is something that can build your relationship together. Let's not refrain from it. Whenever you see a friend going astray, advise them. And you too, make sure you accept advices from your friends. That way, it will make you both be better people. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
The United States is not what is shown in flamboyant Hollywood movies. You can't get the real image of this country when a disaster happens. Destroyed houses, lack of food and medicines, erected tents on sidewalks are just a few examples of normal life in a hurricane-hit U.S. This time, Florida is bearing the brunt of this burden, with the death toll mounting in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, which made landfall on the state's coast as a Category 4 storm last Wednesday, September 28, bringing devastating storm surges to the Cape Coral-Fort Myers area and deadly flooding across the state. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. The Socialist website wrote, at least 103 people have been confirmed dead in Florida and 5 in North Carolina, though the total is expected to be higher, as search and rescue teams are still working through the wreckage. Lee County, which includes Cape Coral and Fort Myers, alone accounts for 54 of the deaths. Sheriff Carmen Marceno said recently, up from the county's previous death toll of 42. Neighboring Charlotte County, where the hurricane made landfall, has the second most recorded deaths at 24. As of now, most of the deaths were drownings, according to officials. Statewide, more than 2,300 rescues have been made, and over 1,000 urban search and rescue personnel have checked 79,000 structures, according to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in a press conference. The death toll in Lee County is likely in no small part due to the failure to issue timely evacuation orders, with residents being given a mandatory evacuation order on September 27th, less than 24 hours before Ian made landfall, despite warnings that they were in the storm's path made since at least September 23rd. Over 700 people have been rescued in the county so far, according to Marceno. Governor DeSantis defended the delayed evacuation order, telling reporters that county officials were following the data which showed the storm making landfall in Tampa Bay, which is in Hillsborough County, before shifting south to Lee County. The implication of this is that the government decided that the effect on businesses through the evacuation of two counties outweighed the loss of lives if the storm were to change course. DeSantis, who is in the running to replace fascistic ex-president Donald Trump as leader of the Republican Party, no doubt is attempting to burnish his credentials as a ruthless defender of the profits of the financial elite. It is much in keeping with the policy of herd immunity pursued by his administration in Florida, which has killed over 80,000 people in the state. The governor has only just now announced the opening of the first disaster recovery center, with DeSantis announcing that other disaster recovery centers are being opened by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and the Florida Division of Emergency Management. Florida has seen rental prices increase by more than 30% over the past 2 years. The loss in housing stock through the destruction of houses means that prices for homes are expected to increase even further. As a result of the lack of alternatives, many are resorting to staying in waterlogged rooms of their homes or becoming homeless. Robert McLean, 67, a military veteran and retired construction worker, was interviewed by New York Times in the garage of his waterlogged rental home. He said that he had few options but to live in his car. He said, "I'm not running to go to live in the Hilton. You know what I'm saying." He concluded, "I'm totally screwed." The website of News Press also wrote, "The lingering impacts of deadly Hurricane Ian have led southwest Florida reeling, but a new menace has emerged recently as disease-carrying mosquitoes are blanketing the region. With a storm surge of more than 15 feet in some areas and more than 1 foot of rain in others, the landscape is soggy and saturated, perfect conditions for spreading West Nile and dengue fever." Eric Jackson, spokesman for the Lee County Mosquito Control District, said, "They are really everywhere, all over. We have pilots in the air and we are going to get every single spot." Cooler, drier weather was welcome in the wake of Ian, especially for a community buried in trees and construction debris. But disease-carrying species emerged about a week after Ian made landfall, adding another layer of public safety concern to a region stricken with the health challenges. Jackson said recently, "We have really stepped up the adulty side, and tonight we will have planes out to get the county cover up to help the people. And then we will focus on larvae side."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Virtues of the Believers, Friday the 3rd of Ramadan, 1394, the 20th of September, 1974. In short, anfal denotes any kind of wealth that does not belong to a single person or to a single group of people, but rather is public property, belonging to the nation as a collective. There should be some management of this wealth. There should be someone in charge of it as God's representative. Who can serve this purpose? The Prophet, of course. So the Prophet here is not mentioned as a divine messenger, but as a divine ruler. And in times when there is no infallible imam to rule over people, it is the responsibility of whoever is ruling over people to take charge of these anfal and associated sources of wealth. In any case, these sources of wealth, such as mines, forests, pastures, and glades, are considered public property. The spoils the Muslim take from the enemy belong to everyone. The treasures of the kings are for everyone. These are the sort of things that are mentioned as belonging to the category of anfal. However, even though they are for everyone, someone has to manage them on behalf of Allah, and that someone is the Islamic ruler. Who is that? When the Prophet was alive, he was the Islamic ruler. After him, it was the infallible Imam, who was known as the divinely appointed just leader, the one in whose hands the reins of power should rightfully be. It is he who is responsible for the anfal and how they are used. However, this is not the part of the verse on which we wish to focus most of our attention.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
After God specifies the method by which the anfal are to be distributed, that is, in accordance with the Prophet's directives, he says, "So be wary of Allah and settle your differences, and obey Allah and His Apostle, should you be faithful. If you are truly faithful, do these three things. First, be wary of God. Then, settle your differences with one another and put aside your disagreements. For the sake of the truth, those who do not speak the truth will give up their claims, and disagreements between you will disappear. Also, do not become caught up in trivial disputes. Do not look for excuses to fight one another. The sort of people who fight their friends as well as their enemies are the sort who look for the slightest excuse to fight, argue, and bring about disagreements. Allah and His Messenger advise people that instead of looking for reasons to fight amongst yourselves, do not ignore the real reasons why you should fight your enemies. If you want to fight, fight your enemy. Why should you fight your brother? Why should you fight your friend? Set aside your disagreements and put things right amongst yourselves. These are the first two pieces of advice.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
New jobs data in the United States showed a collapse of 1.1 million job openings, the biggest one-month crash ever outside of the COVID lockdown. It's also the first increase in the unemployment rate since April 2020, and that has many so-called recession deniers being forced to reconsider. The United States has had two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth, which is the standard definition of economic recession. However, in an effort to avoid the negative press the recession label receives, the administration of President Joe Biden claimed that a stable unemployment rate meant that the U.S. was not in a recession. That's no longer possible. Due to the so-called Uberization of the United States economy, the official data has long been accused of falsely portraying a rosy picture. The national unemployment rate is 4%. But many say the jobs available are part-time, or lack crucial benefits like health care, or are poorly paid despite the current record inflation.
People looking for benefits, they want to work from home, people are not settling like they used to. It's just a matter of, I don't want to say laziness, but I think people are just, they're trying to get the best that they want, and companies are trying to hold steady and their wages, and they're not willing to pay as much because costs are going up for them as well.
Amid the backfiring of Western sanctions on Russia, many businesses have responded by cutting job listings, slowing the hiring process, and may begin mass layoffs. The widespread perception is that America's central bank is forcing a recession to reduce inflation, even if that means throwing millions out of work out of their homes, and guts pensions, which are usually based on the stock market. The drop in jobs is the latest piece of data which shows a dangerously worsening economic situation for the average American. Wages are losing ground to inflation at a record pace, and an economically chaotic October could translate into a painful holiday season for many. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
It was the night chaos and violence came to England's Islamic Center as marauding crowds, intent on raising more than their voices, lay siege to the usually peaceful premises. More than a week later, there is still evidence of the violence that boiled over. Amongst the victims that night was a longtime Quran teacher at the center who was set upon by a baying mob.
Suddenly the people, so many people were sitting there standing, started calling me and swearing and shouting, stay, and surrounded me. And the other people came, starting hitting me, kicking me, and swearing, without stopping. And I couldn't understand. I was so surprised from them. So how can the people become this violent? One of them, he kicked me from the over my my kidney, and I still have a problem with my kidney. And I went to the hospital, so the doctor, and so my knee as well. So it just had very big scratch in my knees and bloodying. I still have problems with my leg, right leg, and I can't walk properly. After these 10 days, more than 10 days.
Said Mousavi is the director of the center and is leading the charge for justice.
The Islamic Center is following its legal path, and a case against the riots has been filed, and it is ongoing based on document and evidence.
Days after violence rocked the Islamic Center, there is still a visible police presence. And whilst those inside do everything they can to protect themselves and their loved ones, it's hoped that should there be a repeat of this atrocity, the authorities will do more.
Until those responsible are brought to account, there are still questions.
But why they did that in that time, I was so surprised. I think it wasn't only one group. I think it was very small groups of the people who were against Islam and against the humanity, and against the kindness, against... I think they were like this, some of them.
There is now a call for calm and dialogue as the only paths forward.
If you want people to listen to you and respect your idea, you should respect the idea of the other as well. That is why I want to ask them, please come and talk and have a dialogue with each other. And then with the dialogue, we can listen to different ideas. And of course, even in Quran, we have a specific advice that tells us you should listen to different words and choose the best. But different word, not different attack.
Meanwhile, the Metropolitan Police is continuing its identification of individuals responsible for the anti-Iran violence that spilled over on British streets. Amina Taylor, London.
Leading experts at this European Economic and Social Committee conference in Brussels on Friday said homelessness in the EU has increased by 70% in the past decade. A conservative estimate suggests there are 700,000 homeless people across the 27-country bloc.
We see now with the energy poverty and the increasing vulnerability that are happening around Europe that we are very, very concerned that those figures will also be increasing further. And that's why we believe that it's really important that we all join forces.
Young adults in precarious jobs are in one of the highest risk categories. If you have a mortgage, then repayments are going up due to interest rate hikes. If a landlord has a mortgage, they are passing on extra charges to tenants. Homeless people don't vote, so is there an incentive for politicians to take action?
if in such a short time so much can be done for Ukrainian refugees, and also if so much could be done for homeless people during the corona pandemic, I think we can do the same in the future. It's just a question of political will.
Those who have experienced being homeless say it's a very difficult situation to escape from.
Everybody thinks you are a little bit shady or something like that, and nobody trusts you, and you don't trust anybody. When people start to trust me, I start to doing better things for me, for myself.
Critics say the current economic crisis and resulting social misery could have been avoided if EU leaders had prevented the war in Ukraine through diplomacy. It has been suggested by some political commentators one way the EU could ease its growing homelessness crisis would be for Western nations to adopt a foreign policy that is less aggressive, which would avoid further displacement of millions of more people. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The second Caspian Economic Forum has been held in Moscow. During the event, issues including developing trade and economic cooperation, interaction in the field of ecology, energy, transport and logistics were discussed. Delegations from the Caspian five littoral states, namely Russia, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Iran and Azerbaijan, were present at the event.
The countries of the Caspian region will have to work in the current turbulent conditions of the global economy and geostrategic tensions. The West is putting increasing pressure on other countries in an attempt to maintain the existing world order.
The Caspian region possesses a significant part of the world's gas and oil reserves. It is of high significance, especially at a time when the whole world is facing an unprecedented energy crisis. The Iranian authorities came up with a new proposal to address those issues.
In order to unify and harmonize tariffs for rail, road and sea transportation, expanding trade and economic cooperation, we propose to establish a committee for cooperation in the field of transport, transit and customs business.
The Islamic Republic, given its geographical location, has very good opportunities to conduct operations in the oil and gas sector, as well as providing energy supplies to other regions. Iran has stressed the need to accelerate the unification of the country's electric power networks with those of the Caspian states.
The main purpose of this forum is boosting the economy of regional countries and to enable the Caspian states to use their opportunities to develop trade and economic cooperation, culture and tourism. Also, everyone should not only use the opportunities of the Caspian Sea, but also protect it. We are actively working in the development of the North-South Transport Corridor. The shipping lines of the Islamic Republic of Iran have allocated 300 containers for the transportation of goods to Russia.
Apart from what was said and proposed at the event, the forum also had good news for the member states. Cruise shipping on the Caspian Sea is set to begin in 2023 for the first time in history.
More than 1,000 delegates from the five Caspian Sea littoral states, as well as Belarus, Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan, have taken part in the forum. In the meeting, the participants agreed to adopt decisions to enhance all-out cooperation among countries in the Caspian region. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
The battered village of Golmovsky. The front line is only 100 meters away. There is a deadly tension here as the streets are almost deserted.
And there are a few people on the streets here picking up humanitarian supplies. I've tried to speak to some of them, but they just shake their head and say, I'd like to speak to you, but we just need to rush home because it's too dangerous here. There's shelling at any moment. They can be hit.
In some relative shelter, this man would speak to me.
Are you concerned about Ukrainian advances to the north of here?
No, I don't think they will come here. Everyone will rise up and won't let them. The people here have nowhere else to go. They couldn't beat us when there were only a few of us, and now Russia supports us.
And what do you think of the Ukrainians and the Ukrainian military?
They are not human. They know perfectly well where they shell. The square here is full of craters. Women were killed just over there while working. They know what they target.
It is mostly the elderly who remain in this town. They have nowhere else to go and so are stranded in the middle of an artillery duel between the opposing armies. The boom of outgoing fire. A pro-Russian artillery piece can't be far from the village. This man tells me he's 76 years old. He fears the coming winter as his windows have been smashed by a blast He also blames the Ukrainians for the war and says they were sent here by the Americans and the Europeans. We head to the neighboring village of Zaitsevo. It was fully taken by pro-